In Sunday school, adult Sunday school this morning, I taught a lesson on 14 ways. There are 100, but on 14 ways that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, and there's 100, but we looked at 14 of those this morning. And as I was thinking about preaching, I thought there's so much still in the story of Joseph. You can't get it all in just a Sunday school lesson, so we're going to preach about Joseph today as well. Genesis chapter 42 will be our text. I'm going to show you the text, and then we're going to delve into Genesis, and you're going to want to keep your Bible open because there are some passages. I'll read a few and explain between them what's going on. Genesis chapter 42, I want you to see one verse. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. That's the verse. Joseph remembered the dreams. What happened, and we're going to see, is that many years before that day right there, this day right here is many years after Joseph dreamed a dream. And something happened on this day when his brother showed up where he was able to remember those dreams from so far away. Joseph remembered the dreams. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. Let's look at the dreams. Joseph, when he remembered the dreams, is nearly 40 years old. Genesis 37, he's 17. Genesis chapter 37, look at verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. You see it? What happened when he was 17? Verse 6. Let's look at verse 5 for the context. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, you were binding sheaves in the field." So in the old time of harvest, if there was wheat, for instance, that had been harvested, they would take a scythe and they would cut that wheat off at the base above the root. And now you've got the chaff, you've got that stalk, and you've got the head up there. So these sheaves are being harvested. So we're binding the sheaves. Once you harvest them, you bind a bunch of them into a big stack, and now it's like a bale of hay, in a sense, and you can carry it to the threshing floor to thresh it. So he said, "We were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheep." That is, to make obeisance, it would be to bow down and reverence or honor Joseph's sheaf. Well, Joseph is young. These guys that he's talking to are all older than he is. And they're like, "What? What kind of dream is that?" Okay. "And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us," in verse 8, "or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. But that wasn't the only dream he had. He had another dream in verse 9. And he told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more." And they're like, "Oh, brother, not now. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." Something is up with this kid. Like he's got some sort of a great ego here or something, right? And most of the time, 17-year-olds are not short of plenty of ego. "The sun and the moon and the stars made obeisance to me, and he told it his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" In Genesis 42, they're bowing down to him. That when he said he remembered the dreams, he's looking at them 23 years later and is like, "Oh, there it is." But it'll look along. There was a lot of time between the time when he dreamed this dream and the time when it was actually fulfilled. Right? A long time passed. 22, 23 years passed. You know, when his brothers heard these dreams, they were like, "Oh, yeah? There are more of us than there are more of you." And so what they did, and as they conspired against him. Look at verse 20. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. Watch it. And then we will see what will become of his dreams. All right? We have a way of making sure that these are not going to be fulfilled. Well, it turns out they didn't kill him. They did conspire against him, but they didn't kill him. They threw him in a pit, and in an opportune time, they sold him into slavery. Verse 27, Genesis 37, 27, come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. So they sold him to the Midianites, who were Ishmaelites. The Midianites were heading down to Egypt. When they got down to Egypt and they had things to sell, they sold him as well. And Potiphar, who was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, an officer of Pharaoh, he bought Joseph. Joseph is nowhere near being able to reign over his brethren. He's not in Israel where they are. He's down in Egypt. He is not a ruler. He's a slave. He's working and he's not getting paid. So the question is, here's the question, what do you do between the time of your dream and its fulfillment? I mean, listen very carefully. When you're young, and I include myself in that category, you know what? You have dreams. You have desires, perhaps for a spouse, for a certain kind of career, for the possession of something. I was talking to some folks yesterday afternoon, and this young man has a dream. I think he's in his young 20s, and he's hoping to own a ranch one day. Well, there's a lot of time between the time of your dream and the time of your acquisition, generally speaking. When you have prayed and God lays something on your heart that is influencing your dream so that you actually perceive that that which you hope to be able to do one day is something that God wants you to do. Like, for instance, when Paul talked to Timothy about bishops, he said, a man that hath a desire, right? If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. There's nothing wrong with having a spiritual desire to do something that matters for God. A lot of us do, and that's a good thing. So Joseph hears these. He doesn't understand the context. All he sees is this dream that he believes comes from God, and somehow or another it has something to do with his brethren bowing down to him. He doesn't understand it. And as a young man, you may not, or a young woman, you may not understand all that your desire or dream has to do with your life, but I'm going to tell you something. Circumstances in your life, like in Joseph's life, may intervene and seem to derail your plans. Joseph's got this idea of something he's going to be involved in, is going to be of high authority, and somehow or another his family is going to be bowing down to him. He doesn't understand it, but I guarantee you when he is a slave in Potiphar's house, somehow or another there is no way to see how this has anything to do with the fulfillment of his dream. You get it? You get where we are? So the question is, between the time of your dream and its ultimate fulfillment, which may be longer than you've already lived, it was for Joseph, what do you do? Now what? Particularly when the circumstances in life seem to be moving in a direction contrary to the fulfillment of your dream. Are we together? Do you got the situation going on here? What do you do now? Well, the story of Joseph that we're going to see in the Scripture will show you what you need to be concerned about more than, hey, God, when are you going to fulfill my dream? Number one, make sure God is with you. No matter where you are in the journey, after you have this desire, you just make sure that wherever you are, God's there with you. You make sure of that. There are too many people who who have a dream and they get going on in life and they break fellowship with God, and then they're not sure that God is anywhere near them or their plans or anything they're involved in. Right? Joseph in Genesis 39 is sold. He's brought down to Egypt in verse 1. In Genesis 39 verse 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Okay? Verse 2 and 3. And the Lord was with Joseph. That's very important. Wherever you are on your journey, as you are thinking about your dream, you make sure God is there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. It's not just a matter that God is with you, but other people who see you recognize God is with you. We as parents, we get really upset when we see that you're not where you had dreamed you one day would be, but it doesn't seem that God's anywhere near where you are either. That's a frightful thing. Look also with me in verse 21. When Potiphar, so for those of you who know the story, I'm just going to tell briefly. Working at Potiphar's house, God was blessing him. Joseph was so successful, Potiphar said, "You over everything." Potiphar's wife got the hots for Joseph and seduced him. Joseph would not fall for her proposition. One day, they were alone in the house. She propositioned him. He took off running. She grabbed his coat and said, "Look, this Hebrew came to lie with me." It was a lie, but Potiphar had him thrown in prison. How is this getting closer to the fulfillment of the dream? I was here as a slave, and now I'm a prisoner, right? But while he was there, the keeper of the prison saw something in verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And the keeper of the prison knew that it was God that was doing this in Joseph's life. Do you understand? It's one thing to know that God is with you, but it also should be something that other people who see you where you are recognize God's in that as well. Make sure God is with you wherever you are in the journey between your dream and its ultimate fulfillment. Listen, the beauty of life is that you can be with God wherever you are and that He is with you. It is much more important that God is with you where you are than that you fulfill your dream and find out God is not there when you get your dream fulfilled. Yeah, it is. It's really good. That's Joseph. He doesn't know what any of this has to do, if anything that he's doing right now has anything to do with the fulfillment. But he does know this. The Lord is with him. And right now, at this point in his life, that's all that matters. And as a young person and I'm telling you, you could be in your 40s, you could be in your 50s with a dream, or 70s with your dream. You got to just make sure God's with you where you are in this plan. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Look, the route you're on may not seem like the path that will get you to your dreams. But if God is with you, He'll get you to your dream despite your circumstances. As a matter of fact, your circumstances may be directly related to the fulfillment of your dreams. Very important to recognize that. You know, how many times I have seen, and us here can testify, somewhere along the way, we once thought about something and took a detour, and God wasn't in the detour. Right? God was in this one. Joseph knew it, and the people around him knew it. It didn't seem to be getting him closer to his dream. It seemed to be getting him further away from his dream, right? But God was there. That's huge. Make sure God is with you. Okay? What else do you do? Here's what you do. Serve where you are as to the Lord. Serve where you are as to the Lord. You see, when Joseph here in Genesis chapter 39 is in Potiphar's house, he's been sold as a slave. He's working for a military man. You know, he could very easily have become very bitter right then and said, "This doesn't look anything like what I thought. I am not going to cooperate with this plan. I'm supposed to be a ruler, not a slave." In Genesis 39:4, Joseph found grace in his sight, that's Potiphar's sight, and he, what's the next two words? Look at it. 39:4, he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Look at verse 6. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Verse 8. When she tried to lie with Joseph, he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Verse 22, when he's in jail, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Do you understand? Joseph worked in slavery, and Joseph worked as a trustee in prison, as if these were his principal occupations. He gave it all he had. He served there as if he were serving the Lord. He served faithfully, so faithfully in what he did, that Potiphar entrusted everything in his house to Joseph's care, and the keeper of the prison entrusted everything in the prison to Joseph's oversight. He was the overseer. But he's a prisoner. He was the overseer. Yeah, but he was a slave. Do you understand? Do you understand? In the course of going from the place of your dream to the place of its fulfillment, you have to serve in the place of your journey the same that you would if you were in the place of your fulfillment. And then one of the reasons is God is looking for that level of fulfillment, that level of faithfulness. What did Jesus Christ say to his disciples? You want to be the greatest? Be the least. You want to be the master? You be the servant. You say, how in the world can I do that? Because this is not what I want to be doing. How do I do that? I'll tell you. If you get your mind set that your service is to the Lord, you can serve anybody, anywhere, because you're doing it for Jesus. The person, listen, get it this way. God, I'm serving you. This person for whom I'm working is the beneficiary of my service to you. That works. That's what Joseph did. And they saw that. And so God could get involved in it and bless Potiphar's house. He's an Egyptian. Bless the warden's house. He's a prison keeper, because Joseph was doing it as to God. So make sure, number one, that God is with you, but number two, serve where you are as to the Lord. Okay? Number three, don't sin against God. Don't sin against God. In verse 9, notice again, we just read it, chapter 30, what did I say, 37? I said 39:9. Joseph says to Potiphar's wife, there's none greater in this house than I, neither hath he. And that wasn't a prideful statement. He's trying to say, look, I've got a lot of responsibility here, and the one thing I cannot do is lie with you. Okay? Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. But then how can I do this great wickedness, watch it, and sin against God? Do you know what happens to Christians sometimes when they've got a great desire and all of a sudden circumstances in life seem to turn against them? It's easier to justify sin at that case. When you get kind of upset about the way things are going in your life, and you look to sin, or sin presents itself as an opportunity and you go for it, it's kind of like, well, look what they've done to me, so I'm okay to do this. And a lot of Christians do that. Listen, just because someone has turned against you, don't turn against them or against God. Well, my parents this, that doesn't justify your action. Well, my boss that. That doesn't just your sin. Well, I thought God was going to do this in my life, and he didn't do this in my life. He did that in my life. So why should I worry about doing the right things in my life for God's sake? He's not doing anything to help me in my life. You see how it goes? The saying is, hurting people hurt people. If it's happened to you, it's likely that you'll do it to somebody else. I mean, if you just think about the nature of men, you think about the nature of women, you think about the age of this person that is here, this Egyptian wife making a move on this boy and Joseph standing up and saying, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God, is like very unusual. But you know what he recognized? If this dream is ever going to be fulfilled, I cannot go here. If God is blessing what I'm doing now, and I fear God, I can't do this and have the hand of blessing removed from what's going on now. Do you understand that we have an adversary? The devil? Do you know the best time to hit you is when you're the most vulnerable? Joseph could easily have been very upset at this point, and this offer of solace and comfort from a beautiful woman could have played right into his carnal desires. The devil knows when to strike. Catch you when you're weak, right? Make sure God's with you. Serve where you are as to the Lord, and don't sin against God. Don't sin against God. What else? Between the time of your dream and the time of your dream's fulfillment, what else? Turn to Genesis chapter 40. In prison, Joseph's down there taking care of business. The butler, that's the guy that serves the wine. And the baker, that's the guy that makes the pastries, the confectionaries. Offend the king, the Pharaoh, and he has them thrown in prison. Well, the prison where Joseph is the prison where the king's prisoners go. So they end up down there. They have dreams at night. And when they do, they wake up and they're very disturbed about their dreams because they think the dreams have some significant prophecy connected with them, but they don't know what that prophecy is. And so Joseph says, and you'll see it in a minute, in another point, Joseph says, well, interpretations belong to God. Tell me your dreams. So the butler tells his dream. And the dream basically is that there's three clusters of grapes, and he presses the grapes into Pharaoh's cup, squeezes the juice into them. And Joseph says, well, the interpretation is easy. In 3 days, the king is going to lift you up and restore you to your office. Okay? And so Joseph gets very excited, and he says this in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 40. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Excuse me. He's got a ripe opportunity now. He tells Pharaoh, tells Butler, here's how it's going to go for you, and it's a good outcome. You're going to be there. You're going to be right next to the king. You're going to be squeezing the grapes into his cup. Hey, I met this guy down there, and I had this dream, and he interpreted the dream. I think he's a good guy. He hadn't done anything wrong. Why don't you let him out? Reasonable plan? Reasonable expectation? I did something nice for you. You do something nice for me, right? Genesis 41, verse 1. Excuse me. Genesis 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the, look at 23. In other words, chapter 40, verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. He's so happy to get out of jail, he forgot to say anything to the Pharaoh. Genesis 41, 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. What? That Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. What? That guy was so happy to get out of jail. He's like, ha ha, I'm out. Squeezing in the cup again. Woohoo. And the king, let him out right in time for a great big birthday party. He didn't think anything at all about Joseph. And 2 more years passed. Have you ever been within grasp of your hope and have it slip right out of your fingers? One, two, three, four, five, yeah. That's frustrating. You've been waiting for years. And it's like, I'm finally going to get the promotion. And your boss promotes somebody else. And doesn't even offer a cup of coffee as a consolation. You ready for the next point? Accept, A-C-C-E-P-T, accept that God's timing is not your timing. That's a hard thing to accept. It takes patience to wait on God. You can have this girl now, or 2 years from now, you can have the girl that you can spend the rest of your life with. Which do you want? Just say it. I'm not sure anybody's in that case. Do you get it? It's better to not have what you want. It's better to want what you don't have than to have what you don't want. And God's timing a lot of times steers you away from something that ultimately you would not have wanted. We usually want to hasten the fulfillment of our dreams. God doesn't work on our time schedule. He works on His. And don't get frustrated with God if He's taking longer to bring your dream to pass than you want Him to. Like I said, Joseph was 17 years old when he had the dreams. By the time you're reading here, he's 30 when he's released from prison. And that's a long time. That's 13 years. Then there's 7 years of plenty and 2 years of famine. He's 39 or 40 years old by the time he gets to remember his dreams. That's a long time for a 17-year-old to wait. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. Wait on God. Wait on God. If you want that dream fulfilled that He gave you, right? Wait on God. All right, in Genesis 41, in verse 25, when Pharaoh tells the dream to Joseph. So they call Joseph. They said, hey, he's got a dream. And the butler's like, a dream. You need an interpreter for the dream. Nobody can interpret the dream. I remember my fault this day. There's a guy down in prison that I met a couple of years ago. And he's a Hebrew. Bring him up. So they bring up Joseph. And Pharaoh says, I've dreamed a dream. And he tells him what the dream is. And watch what Joseph says. First of all, in verse 16, Genesis 41, verse 16. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It's not in me. When he spoke to the butler and to the baker, he said, do not interpretations belong to God? In 41:25, Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Verse 32, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. In chapter 45, in verse 5, when the dream is finally fulfilled, Genesis 45:5, Joseph says to his brothers, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he, that's God, hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. When he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh, he said to Pharaoh, what your dream is this. You're going to have 7 years of plenty and you're going to have 7 years of famine. In the 7 years of plenty, save up 1/5 of all the production. And in the years of famine, you'll have something to eat. And Pharaoh said, can we find a man as wise as this man, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And he said, you'll be the man to run it. And Pharaoh made Joseph the second ruler in the country. Nothing happened. No promotions, demotions. Nothing happened without Joseph's approval. He was in charge of everything, like he had been for Potiphar, like he had been for the keeper of the prison. Now he's running things for Pharaoh. And in every case, God has the interpretation. It is not in me. God will show you. God sent me hither. Do you understand? What do you do in the meantime? Give God all the glory. What do? You accept that God's timing is not your timing, and while you're waiting, you give God all the glory. That's what you do. We are not the reason that our dreams get fulfilled. This is not about Joseph. It's about what God did in Joseph's life. God had to fulfill this. And God fulfilled the dream for his purposes. You see, when Joseph had the dream, you're going to bow down to me, he did not get the context. He didn't understand what the dream was about. He just knew it was going to happen. He had no idea that he was going to be sent to prove himself as a slave in Potiphar's house and as a trustee in a prison, in order to learn how to take charge of things and run things. He was too young, too innocent, too ignorant about how to handle matters, so God trained him. And by the time he was finished with his training, God had always designed during these years of famine, that will be the man to run the country, and that will be the man to save his brother's life. And now he understands what the bowing down was about. And now when they bowed down to him, and they come in, we didn't read the passage, they come down and they do obeisance to him. He doesn't sit there and go, well, it's about time, boys. I've been waiting on this a long time. Why don't you bow again? Felt pretty good. What do y'all think about it, your old little brother Joe here? You had no idea you were going to come to this position of stature in this country, did you? Bow again. That looks pretty good. Bring some of my servants in here. Look at these boys here. These are Hebrews. Bow again. None of that. He said, you know what he said? God did this to save your lives. and now I understand what the dream was about. And it's not flaunting that I'm ruling. We're all thanking God that I could be here to save your life. Joseph was sent before his family to preserve their lives. Their bowing down was the result of Joseph's promotion to the second ruler in the country. It wasn't because he was due the glory. Joseph made it clear that God was the one that did it. God is the one that deserves the glory. God did this for his purposes. He wasn't getting me to this place so I could have this much money, I could have this much authority, and I could have this much attention. He got me to this place so I could do something with the authority he's given me to help you. From the beginning, it was evident to Potiphar and to the keeper of the prison that the reason Joseph was successful is because the hand of the Lord was on him. They saw that. They didn't attribute the success of Joseph to Joseph. Joseph's just another man. They attributed the success to God. So when Joseph says things like, "Do not interpretations belong to God? It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." He didn't have to cook that up as some sort of like a spiritual thing. That's what we Christians say. Oh, it's not me, it's God. The whole time you're thinking with this great big balloon inflated head, it's me, it's me, it's me, look at me. Not Joseph. He, you know what he did? He went through the school of it's not about you. You know, we ought to have a school like that. Because when you're a little kid, you know, you're just 2 years old. Aren't you so cute? You know, and 3 years old, look at my little angel. Everybody else is like, really? But I get that. You know, we had kids and now we got grandkids. I see what you see through my parent rose glasses. Oh, such a sweetheart. Everybody's like, God, you. And God says, what I'm going to do, and it would be good when all that attention is on these kids. You know, you drive around town with a bumper sticker. I hope nobody has one of these. If you do, well, it's okay. Everybody else, they won't look. Don't look at bumper stickers when you leave today. You know, my child is an honor student at such and such a place. Okay, well, you know, those kids, that's rough on the kids, man. Walking around, you know, I'm that honor student that my mom's car is all about. I should be driving. We need one of those schools that says it's not about you. Year two, it's not about you. Year three, it's not about you. Oh, you mean it's not about me? Yeah, now you're catching on. Let's do about four more years. It's not about you. It's about God. Boy, the quicker we figure that out, the better. Amen. If you have a dream that you believe has come from the Lord, follow Joseph's pattern as God brings it to pass. Whatever you do, make sure, first of all, follow God, not your dreams. God's got to be with you wherever you are. Follow God, not your dreams. God has to be with you. Remember to serve and be faithful where you are, whether what you're doing is for someone else's plans and not for yours. We're all about building our own resume. We're all about building our own success, our own account, our own career. If everything you're doing right now is for somebody else's benefit, you do it as unto the Lord and let them derive the benefit of it. Because God's preparing you for something else. Watch out for an attack from the devil that could take you out. Once you're in that situation and you're having to wait, that impatience can really hurt you. Be patient. God works on his own time schedule, not on yours. And glorify God in all that you do from the very start to the very finish. You don't want to wait till the day of victory and oh, by the way, glory to God. What about through all that other stuff God was doing in your life to get you ready for the fulfillment of your dream? God gets glory for that too. You know, to get where God showed Joseph that he would be, Joseph needed to go through all that he went through. He needed to be a slave. He needed to be a prisoner in order to become a ruler. He needed to be in Egypt so he could provide for his family. Everything he went through prepared him for each step, each of the next step in his life. And then finally, his dream was fulfilled. None of the steps he took, none of them seemed to be leading to Joseph's ultimate fulfillment of becoming the second ruler in Egypt. None of those steps. What's the point? From our perspective, everything seems like one detour after another. From God's perspective, everything falls perfectly into place. Listen, we're going to wrap it up right here. Listen very carefully. When all the pieces of your jigsaw puzzle life get spilled out on the table, and you see them all spilled out on the table, right then you're thinking, my life is a wreck and it's in such disarray. From God's perspective, He sees that spilled out on the table, and He says, the pieces are just now beginning to fall into place. It's a totally different perspective with God. But you, like Joseph, one day can say, Joseph remembered his dreams. Father, we're very thankful today for the opportunity to be instructed out of the words of God. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. I am delighted for what you've shown us out of the Scripture. It's just thrilling to see how clear and how real this is. Many of us have enough age on us now that we have absolutely seen these very things we've talked about today fulfilled in our own lives. Many have not, but can. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit during this time of invitation will apply what's been said today in the heart of every person here in a way that is instructive and comforting, for we ask you to do these things and reproving if need be. We ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.